upward communication, problems and exceptions. What do we mean by problems? The various issues which need to be discussed with people at top management. Exceptions. What are we talking of? Say you are discussing a particular project. You have to figure out an exceptional way of dealing with this particular problem. How do you make the person at top management? How do you convince the person at top management that for this we will have to be having a shift or change in our attitude to resolve it? These messages describe serious problems and exceptions to routine performance in order to make the leader aware of difficulties. Based on this communication, the leader can arrange for required corrective action. If there are serious problems and exceptions to routine performance, how do we make the people aware? How can we make the person at top management understand this? What do I mean by exceptions to routine performance? Say probably you have not completed your project on time. Now, its projects are given to you all the time. You've always bothered to complete. This time, you've not been able to do so. So how do you convince the leader? What is the reason? Why is it that it's delayed? So it's an, for you, you will say, okay, please make it an exception for this time because probably a close person has passed away. So I could not focus on work and did not come to work for about 15, 20 days. So it's a situation which can be considered to be an exceptional situation and whereby they give you the benefit or leverage to extend your deadline. Based on this communication, the leader can arrange for required corrective action. So a lot depends on the concerned person at top management. Upward communication, suggestions for improvement. These messages are ideas for improving task-related procedures to increase the quality or efficiency of organization members. This can be through training, right? You provide the people training. You probably try to have a brainstorming, you know, whereby each one comes up with creative thoughts. So valuable suggestions are often received from diligent employees who know the intricacies of the job they have been performing for long. They relate to simplification of processes, saving in cycle time, or use of better and cheaper materials. So I guess cost cutting is one aspect. How to ideally, you know, probably achieve much more within the same time period. Then you can also talk of people who are very well versed with the kind of work they're doing. See that maximum in terms of output can be there through, you know, effective ways and means. They relate to simplification of processes. That's what it means. They also cover ideas for improvement of working environment. So making it more of a conducive environment. Management engages in keeping this communication as open as possible to reap benefits from employee ideas. I think this can be, you know, this can be taken as one aspect which differs from organization to organization. In some organizations have this open channel of communication, free flow of communication, whereas in some organizations that is not the case. It ideally differs. Suggestions for improvement. These messages are ideas for improving task-related procedures to increase quality or efficiency of organization members. Valuable suggestions are often received from diligent employees who know the intricacies of the job they have been performing for long. They relate to simplification of processes, which we've discussed. So we go ahead. Performance reports. These messages include periodic reports that inform the leader how individual organization members and departments are performing. Now, when you talk of performance report, it's focusing on each department, it's focusing on each individual and the kind of work done by one and all. Example, daily sales, production reports, machine idle time, resolution of customer complaints. So, okay, customer complaint, what can we do to resolve it? Then ideally, what about daily sales? What can we do to increase the sales? So all those aspects are looked into. Financial and accounting information. These messages pertain to costs, accounts, receivable, interest on investment, tax levies, and other matters of interest to managers, CEO, and even the board. When we talk of financial and accounting information, What do we mean by these messages pertaining to cause? Anything to do with taxation, anything to do with the cause, anything to do ideally in terms of investment. All these are communicated by the subordinate to the top management. Upward communication, grievances and disputes. These messages are employee complaints and conflicts that travel up the organization hierarchy for a hearing and possible resolution. We suggest that as far as possible, do not take your grievances or especially your disputes. Grievances you can, but your disputes to people at top management. Unless you feel that it's very difficult to resolve, only then. If the grievance procedure is backed up by the presence of collective bargaining agreement, that means you talk of the unions probably, organizations are even more encouraged to express the true feelings. So a lot to do in some of the organizations, the people working there are affiliated to a union. So then ideally it it can involve the union depending on to what extent is the a dispute, what is the reason for the dispute, can it be solved without involving the union, or does it reach a stage where one has to involve the union. So when we talk of upward communication, the workers, they report to the supervisors, then they report to the department head. So see how systematically it's going. Then from there to the general manager and the managing director. So it's going hierarchical, more like chain network we can say out here, right? And if you have free flow of communication, that means it would probably be understood as anyone interacting with the other. This kind of communication we can say is chain. It goes systematic, orderly and hierarchical. Progressive managements attack this problem with manifold action. What do we mean by that? Open door policy. Taken literally, this means that supervisor's door is always open to staff members. It's an invitation for staff to come in and talk about any problem that they may have. Open office layout promotes upward communication. That means giving the benefit and leverage to one and all to interact with the other. This also means you're letting people communicate with you, which means you're keeping free flow of communication. You're keeping level of communication absolutely comfortable by being approachable. You're also seeing to it that you're letting people express what they feel. Now, progressive managements attack this problem with manifold action. That means if they feel there's a problem and if there's free flow of communication, they ideally can resolve it by taking some action. They ideally can come up with an effective solution by correcting it at the right time. Counseling, attitude, questionnaires and exit interviews. The manager can greatly facilitate upward communication by conducting non-directive confidential counseling sessions, periodically administrating attitude surveys and holding exit interviews for those who leave the organization. When I say counseling, say an employee has not been attending work or since the last 1 month. So you ideally can have a one-to-one talk. You can discuss. Maybe the employee says that he feels too stressed out living up to deadlines. Or maybe the employee says that it's getting difficult since he's just going through personal issues on the home front. So ideally, that could be one aspect. Exit interview, whereby a person is leaving and the person ideally in an exit interview is supposed to explain or discuss or even elaborate as to what can be improved upon. Though it is said that when you leave an organization, do not be overtly critical. You could discuss a few points as to what needs to be done or needs to be improved. Then you talk of attitude surveys, right? You probably like to know what each one thinks or feels in terms of his or her attitude as far as his team members are concerned. So getting to understand the views, the thought process, the mindset of the people. What is attitude? The way we think, feel and behave. So that can be expressed easily. And holding exit interviews for those who leave the organization. Now, when we say upward communication by conducting non-directive confidential counseling, counseling also, it does not need to be discussed with one and all. It can be highly confidential. That means between the two people. When I say non-directive, I'm also partially doing counseling in a friendly manner. I'm not doing it in a manner whereby I'm being extremely authoritative and like delegating a does. Thus, when we talk of upward communication, valuable information can be gained from these forms of communication. Participative techniques, group decision making can generate a great deal of upward communication. This may be accomplished by the use of union management committee, quality circles. When we talk of quality circles, people who are in a circle, that means it's a team where each one is contributing something or the other based on his skill or her skill, suggestion boxes, site-based counsel and the like. Now, what is ombudsperson? Ideally, you talk of ombudsperson as a public official who acts as or partially who is ideally and or plays the role of an impartial intermediary between the public and the government. So acts as an intermediary between the public and the government. When we talk ideally of the ombudsperson, this has been utilized in Europe and Canada to provide an outlet for people who've been treated unfairly in a depersonalized manner by large bureaucratic government. So this person plays the role of that of an, you can say, like an advocate between the concerned person, the public and the government. That is because he's been treated unfairly. So again, when you talk of upward communication, it is valuable communication, which is probably comes through quality circles, which probably could come through people in a group where, you know, you have sometimes a lawyer, a doctor, a person working for an NGO, all the people say getting together. So a lot of information coming based on various fronts, like the legal aspect, the aspect in terms of how society would be affected by this kind of a situation. So you have people contributing their ideas and views. A senior experienced manager can be assigned this additional responsibility of handling employee grievances uniformly. This trend to institute the ombudsperson is gaining popularity in some Indian organizations in recent times. So this person is ideally playing the role of a mediator. If developed and maintained properly, it may work where the open door policy has failed. If you have this person who is a mediator, maybe the mediator has more of a skill to deal with person on one side and the other side and be effective and neutral when it comes up to making or giving a solution. What are the advantages? Fosters friendly relations. Of course, you can have a better rapport, provides effective feedback, encourages participation. It is two-way process for sure, giving suggestions, introducing new projects and employee morale, right? The moment you feel demotivated, people who are at top management, they will do everything to motivate you. Fosters friendly relations, helps to bring about cooperation, goodwill and understanding amongst employees and employers. This stimulates friendly relations, provides valuable feedback. The superiors come to know how their plans and policies, orders and instructions are being received and executed. When you're in constant touch with the subordinates, you realize how have they absorbed, how are they implementing the plans, policies, are they effective in terms of understanding the plans and policies. So all those aspects. Encourages participation. By encouraging employees to make suggestions, upward communication helps to bring in elements of participative management. Everyone is given the leverage to participate. Upward communication is a part of two-way process which promotes better understanding between management and employees. The employees are encouraged to make suggestions in the interest of the organizations. Some of the suggestions prove useful and the employees are suitably rewarded, right? Could be incentives, monetary incentives, non-monetary incentives, could be just as something as simple as providing a laptop to the person, a new laptop, okay? Introducing new projects. Upward communication creates a healthy relationship between the management and employees. And this in turn makes it convenient for the management to introduce new schemes or projects. Employee morale. Upward communication develops and improves employee employer relation and promotes employee morale. It kind of boosts the morale of a person, especially when they're demotivated, when there's a crisis in the organization, when there's some lot of complaint and grievances because all the employees are unhappy with the working conditions. Then ideally, people at top management can do lots to motivate them. Making suggestions. The employees are encouraged to make suggestions in the interest of the organization. I cannot see a suggestion which will benefit me. I need to see a suggestion which will benefit all in the organization, and thus it will benefit me. Some of these suggestions prove useful and the employees are suitably rewarded. Introducing new projects. Upward communication creates a healthy relationship between the management and employees. This in turn makes it convenient for the management to introduce new schemes or projects. Upward communication develops and improves employee-employee relations. I think we've discussed this before. So, what are the disadvantages of upward communication? Resistance from employees. If you as an individual are not approachable, if you as an individual do not foster that kind of climate in terms of letting people communicate their ideas or views openly, then it can be a disadvantage. Fear of incompetence. If you have level A, level B, and level C, C is highly competent, very effective with ideas. But whenever C communicates these effective ideas to B, B snubs him. Snubs him, doesn't bother to really give attention to that. B himself may be insecure. B himself may feel C may overtake him at any juncture. And thus, he does not accept ideas from C. Indecisive superiors. Superiors are very difficult, not very firm with ideas and views. You can say, slack at times with behavior. Not really living up to what they say. Okay, messages not heard. Maybe they just, the people at top management feel no need to hear the messages, right? So not even being active listeners. And unwillingness to admit failure. Not really accepting the fact that this is a failure. So when they're not willing to admit, then people who are subordinates may find it difficult to express their own ideas or views. Because the people at top management do not agree that they are not succeeding with this kind of a thought process. Alright, so when we discuss disadvantages of upward communication, resistance from employees. Employees rarely initiate upward communication as they are afraid of being ignored. Such communication often meets with improper recognition, so they hesitate to initiate it again. What happens very often is that you want to say so much, or you want to say something is very crucial, which is very crucial or important. But somewhere you ideally feel you may be ignored. Somewhere you ideally feel that you are not given the kind of importance when you wish to communicate something. So ideally, what is most important is that we see to it that when we communicate to people at top management, we should keep ourselves updated. We should see to it we go with confidence and have a positive attitude. That will make a difference. Fear of incompetence. Subordinates communicating with superiors fear that their colleagues or work may be regarded by the superior as a reflection of their own competence. What does this mean? When you have a subordinate communicating with the person at top management, that the colleague or work may be regarded by the superior as a reflection on their own competence. What does it mean? Let's see, when I'm communicating with somebody at top management, I ideally, am I competent enough first and foremost as an individual? That's what needs to be looked into. Indecisive superiors. If superiors do not take any decision in the light of upward communication, the employees lose confidence. Yes, whenever I communicate anything, my ideas are not looked into. What I say is not really appreciated or valued. Then ideally, my confidence can be shaken. Upward communication disadvantages. Messages not heard. Often messages do not travel upward. They merely rest with the inactive or indifferent supervisor. We've discussed this before, right? That when level C communicates with level B ideally does not really make attempts to communicate it to level A. Some managers are poor listeners. Some simply hear messages without taking any action. Unwillingness to admit failure. Many employees in lower hierarchy are insecure about the jobs and uncertain about future job prospects. They therefore feel unwilling to discuss their on-the-job problems with their superior. That sense of insecurity will not let you discuss a problem. Why do you have that insecurity? Maybe you feel if you discuss a problem, they feel that the people at top management will feel you're not able to handle situations or crisis effectively. So you feel it's best not to discuss with them. Downward communication, communication that moves from supervisors, seniors to subordinates or juniors, going down the steps. When I go down the steps, that means from from top management to subordinates. Traditional views of communication process in training organizations have been dominated by downward communication flows. When it's training, when it's counseling, when it's warning, when it's advising, when it's delegating tasks, all this is downward communication. It serves 7 specific objectives. We now discuss all. Instruction and orders, yes. Now, when you give instructions, are you being authoritative? Are you delegating tasks or are you doing it in an appropriate manner? Supervisors are responsible for performance of their staff. They have to issue instructions to the staff on the work they're supposed to perform and how for repetitive jobs. Work instructions are prepared and issued to employees or displayed at the workplace. Work orders are issued to assign tasks to workers for completion in specified manner on or before completion date indicated in such orders, right? So when you talk of orders, so you have to complete a task. So you're given a date or a deadline. So what are we trying to say? Instructions or orders given in a manner whereby you've got to follow them. Instructions or orders given in a manner whereby you've got to ideally take it as an instruction from the person at top management, which would be very different if it is taken as a general instruction from a colleague. So ideally, we need to understand who is actually giving the instructions to whom. Is the person ideally authoritative? Is the designation of the person expecting the person to be authoritative? All those aspects need to be looked into. Now, when we say work orders are issued to assign tasks to workers, that means it has to be completed in a specific way on a specific date and time. Downward communication. Education and training are imparted to employees to develop the skills to perform current jobs effectively and to undertake new jobs as and when they are developed. Education is for developing general abilities of the mind and training is practical education of practice in some skill. When you talk of education and training, it is ideally to see to it that the employee gets better in the way he ideally presents something. So training is given to him. Education can be through probably PowerPoint slides, maybe through a presentation, maybe what is expected out of him. See someone in the field of marketing, you probably show PowerPoint slides, discuss the product, the advantages of the product, what can be expected, all those aspects. This process is continuous and carried through training sessions, lectures, demonstrations, video films, project work, various ways to reach out to the public. In addition to job-related training, employees are provided a training in social behavior, attitude, building, or motivation. Very important. Someone in the field of marketing, your attitude, your ability to be convincing, your attitude, that means the way you think, feel, or behave, and how motivated you are. All these aspects need to be looked into. So when we talk of downward communication, we need to understand that ideally it is from top management to subordinates. When we talk of downward communication, we need to understand that a lot of focus as far as downward communication is concerned is on being highly effective as an individual, in terms of what I'm told by people at top management. When I'm a subordinate, I will get a lot of opportunities to interact with people at top management. What I see and observe and pick up from them, that ideally should and will help me to reach a certain level as far as success in my life is concerned. So when we talk of downward communication in terms of training and education, we also need to figure out that what is the kind of training we've been given, by whom, for what purpose, and how ideally it will be effective in the long run. Now, when we discuss aspects of downward communication, social behavior, how do you deal with people, your ability to deal and interact with people, all those aspects are looked into. Objective here is to build effective team of workers who can handle job responsibilities effectively with minimum supervision. Ideally, we would say no supervision, because you're given such training that you're able to handle the situation well. On-the-job training is provided to the new employees after they are placed. Such training is arranged when a new process or product is introduced. Supervisors with ability to instruct are selected to impart such training. Sometimes assistance of the outside trainers is obtained to ensure effectiveness of such training. That means we need to understand assistance of outside trainers. Why would they do that? Then they feel that someone else who's coming from outside and is a trainer is highly specialized in that field. So the person has that knack and skill to get better results from you. When I say from you, that means giving training to you specifically so that you give the best in terms of results. Motivation. Motivation means providing employees an incentive and urge to make efforts to do their best. Generally, it is said that when you get motivated, we get motivated by others. Whom do you take as your role model? You would get motivated by that person. Managers continuously try to improve employee performance through motivation. They use communication to generate sense of employee self-worth by providing recognition, displaying appreciation of the good work, and providing general sense of support. When we talk of motivation, ideally, somewhere you're being motivated by another person. For example, when you see your director, the way he conducts himself, the way he interacts. Let's take an example of an Ambani or a Tata. How do they interact? The ability to deal with stress, the ability to handle work effectively. So somewhere you get motivated. When I say motivated, you get influenced by the way the person behaves. You feel you wish to be like the person on certain fronts because that person has influenced you in terms of behavior, mannerisms, attitude, skills, ability to communicate, all of it. So, providing recognition and displaying appreciation of good work. This will motivate you to do better. This is achieved by listening to them, ensuring that credit is given immediately where it is due. That means people at top management are listening to you whenever you interact. It increases your self-confidence because you will feel that you are being heard and avoiding any type of criticism. Even if criticism is there, there's something like constructive criticism, not destructive criticism. When I say constructive criticism, it means ideally that you are not being very rude, you're not being aggressive, you're being assertive, which means firm or polite while you are putting forward a criticism. But remember one thing, a criticism can also be put forward without using a negation. That means if someone tells you you're a good for nothing, you're useless. Another way of saying it is that somehow the goals have not really been achieved, but you can definitely prove yourself by putting in more effort. Now, of course, we're saying goals have not been achieved. But when I say you can definitely prove yourself, it means that you ideally are given a chance to do the best. Then too, if you don't, then you're a good for nothing. It is the other way. That means how we are seeing it matters the most. So if there are any differences, they need to be discussed in one-to-one communication in privacy of supervisor's office and not in front of all. Maintaining an open communication climate is very useful for motivation. People should feel free to voice their view even if they have complaints and criticism to express. Raising morale. Morale is the individual and collective spirit and moral condition of employees with regard to discipline and confidence. Yes. How do you boost the morale of the people in your organization? A lot to do with the way you enhance the confidence of the people in your organization. A lot to do with the way you make the people in your organization feel that they are a part of the team, and ideally, you're responsible for bonding and cohesion with one another in the team. That means ideally, you are completely responsible to let the others in the organization feel that ideally, they're not low on self-esteem, they do not feel somewhere neglected, and they do not lose that sense of belongingness which ideally an individual should have. Confidence in oneself and in the organization's management is an important factor that affects the morale. Raising morale cannot be achieved through a single powerful communication. You need continuous communication of right nature and style. The way you communicate, how effective you are in communication with the people, the way a situation is handled by you and explained effectively to the workers is also of great importance. Information about the organization's plans, policies, progress must be circulated in a routine manner. It is very necessary to keep the people in your organization updated. There must be consultations on proposed changes and assurances of job security before any major change is to be implemented. This will make each one feel that they are a part of the organization and they were informed prior as far as the changes are concerned.